I am delighted, very important man this for somebody in my industry, to be joined by Senior Manager from the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, Ciarán Cassán. Ciarán, good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you, Donny. Pleasure to be on with you on this fine afternoon.
Well, it's a finer afternoon than it was a morning, I will give you that.
Definitely.
Ciarán, we have a lot to talk about and we don't have much time in which to do it. So we will get into this Reuters, as in Reuters, the news agency report, about the importance of independent journalism. Now, as somebody, Ciarán, and I'm going to preface my question, or maybe my statement to you, by saying that I would be an avid consumer of current affairs from all over the world. So I would watch news outputs from everywhere from Russia to the various networks in America, Britain and other parts of Europe. And as somebody in the industry who is trained in media literacy, my God, some of what you see and hear is anything but independent.
Well, I suppose there's different requirements on different channels and on yourselves. There is a requirement under legislation for fairness, objectivity and impartiality. But on social media channels and even on the news industry, the print industry, there's not the same requirement. So I think what you have is you have different perspectives that you get from different sources depending on what structures they operate under.
And do you think that... I mean, it comes back again, I suppose, Ciarán, and I don't want to be using big technical terms because it's not fair on people listening, but it comes back to media literacy, that people should consider, is there an angle or has somebody got an axe to grind in relation to what they are listening to and the way it's being presented to them? Because you know as well as I do, Ciarán, as I say, we're in the business. You can take the exact same set of circumstances and skew it in different ways to put it across as a two totally different incidents altogether.
Yeah, I think like one of the key requirements, as you say, around media literacy is that people are informed and empowered to be able to look at the information they're getting and understand the perspective that it's coming from. And it's when that is masked or hidden that you really run into challenges. And we've seen a lot of that during the COVID crisis in terms of disinformation and in terms of malinformation that has been purposefully generated. And then the challenge with social media around some of this, and we've seen this in the Digital News Report, when you look at the rise of the importance of social media, especially for younger age groups as a source of news and information, is that often it can be masked. So there have been incidents shown where private messaging networks like WhatsApp, people have shared within those information that has obviously been misinformation or even malinformation, and that has been taken as credible because it's coming from within a peer group. And we've seen things like false tweets with that are presented as coming from credible figures such as the Taoiseach being then recirculated because people believe they're true. And then when you get it recirculated from somebody that you believe is a credible source because you know them and maybe they've been duped, and then that adds to the confusion and the potential for harm. So it's a much more complex information environment than the one that we would have had previously. And that's what the news report shows in terms of, if you look at social media, it's the main source of news, increasingly the main sort of news for 18 to 24-year-olds. It was up from 43% in 2019 to 46% in 2020. And this research was done before the COVID crisis struck. So I think it's one of those elements where we've seen a longitudinal shift in the way people access information, the sources and the devices they're using, and that has made it more complex in terms of understanding what is happening and also in terms of ensuring that people have access to credible, reliable sources. But one of the positives to come out of the COVID crisis has been that a number of pieces of research have shown this, is that people have gone back to trusted sources such as licensed radio and television services, and have gone to these because they see them as being reliable sources of information in the current environment.
Yeah, and a very important thing there, and I mean, that is really, Ciarán, the whole, I think it's the key word in this, reliable. Where do you see, as a senior manager in the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland, where do you see the role for or the participation of the community radio sector in this?
Well, I think the community radio sector, being first of all, is part of the regulated sector, and we have seen the value that people have attached to sources of information from regulated entities, both within in this research, but also, as I said earlier, in terms of the COVID crisis. But I think the other element that I draw on, it was another report that we launched last week in terms of the value of community media, was we did a piece of research with CRAIL, the network for the community radio stations, to look at trying to identify the value that community media creates for the community that it serves. And within the framework there, it's very clear that one of the key values is that sense of connection to the community, and within that, to be seen as a trusted source of information.
Very much so, and in fact, as luck would have it, that we're chatting this afternoon, Ciarán, I happen to have that document in front of me as well, and I was going to chat to you about that closer to the end of the interview, but seeing as you mentioned it, we can talk about it now. Particularly, I think, among communities where there is a community radio station, and I can talk particularly of our own one here, which is based in the heart of Coolock, people associate themselves with it, and they look upon it very much as it's their radio station. And that seems to be the thing, like, and I mean, you mentioned CRAIL there now, and I've been to a couple of the CRAIL failures, and I know you've been at them as well. People in the community very much look upon them as it's their radio station. Like, RTE sort of, well, that kind of belongs to everybody, but it's belonged to them over there or the other ones. But the community station based in the community, that's their radio station.
Yeah, I think, and that's one of the elements that was very clearly tracked within the framework of community value, because it looks not only at the benefits that are delivered in the context of people who are listening to the service, but also participation, and that has been a key element in the regulatory framework going back 25 years at this stage, and equally in terms of when you look at the legislation where it talks about the need to ensure that community stations are owned and controlled by the community that they serve. But I think one of the challenges going forward is that as people have access to more and more devices and are approaching content in different ways, especially younger groups, and that is something which is also reflected in the Reuters News report, when you see that the research has shown that there's a growth in listening to podcasts in Ireland, and it's up 3 points to 40% from last year. And within under 45s, that is growing. And in the 18 to 24 age group, which we had particularly focused on in the research this year, 72% of people in that said they'd listened to a podcast in the last week. So what you're seeing is as well this shift, because in audience expectations and also audience habits, that what they want to do is they want to be able to access the information at a time and at a place that suits them. So this sense of waiting for news headlines on the hour or information within a particular program to be broadcast at a particular scheduled point, what they want to do is, and the technology now allows that, is they want to say, well, actually, I'd rather listen to it now because it would suit me to do it at this point. So the scheduling structure has been reversed. And I think that is one of the challenges that the community media sector, I think, needs to look at as well, because I think what you've got to see is you've got to see that people are changing their approach to interacting with media to say, I want to do it at a point that suits me rather than at a point where it is decided by a scheduler, which it had to do in an analog world where you had to have a radio service, a radio set that could tune into a particular signal, whereas now what you can do is you can download the pieces that you want. And the challenge that creates is that people then have access on an ongoing basis to a growing amount of content.
Yeah, I remember it well, actually, Ciarán, as somebody who grew up in the country, and everything stopped at 1 o'clock in the day and at 6 o'clock in the evening. Everything stopped because you had to get the news. They were the big news bulletins of the day, the 1 o'clock and the 6 o'clock news. They were the big things. That day, long gone.
Yeah, and we've shown this in this report. When you look at the sources of news and how, you know, when you look at digital sources of news, that new outlets that are digital-born, like the Journal, are now, they were at number one, but they're now the second most used digital source of news. And when you consider the amount of people who've got a mobile phone, that's a smartphone, they can access the news anytime they want. They're not going to wait till 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock. They're going to and access it from a variety of sources, nationally and internationally. And that's one of the other elements that is a real challenge coming out of this report, is when you look at the growth of online services from people like The Guardian, The New York Times, in Ireland as a news source. Whereas before, you would have had to go, you couldn't buy that paper, you couldn't access it. Whereas now, you can get an update. And one of the other elements that really was striking in this year's research in digital news is the increase in the use of emails, where news services are now sending emails to people 6, 7, 8, even 10 a day, giving them updated information from The New York Times or The Guardian or some of these big international news providers, who go directly to people who are interested in news across the globe.
It has definitely changed times, Ciarán. I'm looking here at that Reuters study, and I find it fascinating, because if you look through it now, people who are used to listening to me here on Northside Today will be very aware of the fact that I do not try and blind the audience with science, and I don't like to bore them with statistics. But just on the thing of statistics, could I suggest that the Irish people come out of this very, very well on the international study? Because I'm just looking, I'm just going to take two things. Is that, excuse me, that 66% of Irish respondents to the international study believe that journalism is either very or extremely important to a functioning society. That compares very well with other countries. And a phrase which was brought into popular lexicon, I think, by Mr. Trump was fake news. And that the 62% of Irish people said they're very concerned about what is real and what is fake. That we are, maybe the years of education and the money that was poured into it is starting to show, even in this, that we are not going to be easily led, conned or lied to.
Well, I think that the picture that emerges in terms of engagement by Irish people with news sources is quite positive, and there are comparisons in the report between Ireland, the US, the UK, and even across, when you look across the EU average. So there's a significant level of interest and also a level of engagement with news by Irish audiences. And we started this conversation talking about media literacy, but news literacy is part of that. And I think you are seeing increases when you look over time that people are becoming more aware of phenomena like misinformation and malinformation that you know, have become part of the lexicon and have really been ones that people have engaged with as well. And I think you've seen that as well through the COVID crisis, as I mentioned earlier. But one of the other interesting pieces for me is the concern that's there over what sources of misinformation are there, and concerns that people believe that they're coming from within the political system as much as from external sources. And I think that's one of the points that struck me, is when people are concerned about it, where do they believe the sources are, and they're concerned about it coming from within people who are part of the political system. And this is reflected in many countries that are included in this study, because the study covers 40 different countries.
Yeah, and that is very interesting. Now, I suppose, Ciarán, in fairness, when I used the phrase media literacy, I was really referring to that people are getting more, excuse me, they're getting more choosy and they're not taking it as gospel anymore. They're stopping, they're thinking it, they're digesting it themselves, and they're saying, no, I don't think that's 100% right. And they may be double-checking what they have seen or heard on a news bulletin. That's what I was meaning by media literacy. Whereas in the old days, if the man in the suit reading the news told you something, well, that's it. It was the gospel. People aren't taking it that way anymore.
No, and I think that's true because they have. I think there's a greater awareness that there are different sources, and also that they're coming with different perspectives, and the whole issue of manipulation. So I think people are becoming more aware, but I don't think we can be complacent about it, because I think you still have seen significant issues that have arisen. And going back to the COVID crisis, you know, there was a lot of currency given to false information about the impact of 5G technology on COVID and on different cures that and treatments that were there. And, you know, I think we're all aware of the sources of some of that information, but also how much credence it was given in certain sources or in certain places and by certain segments of the population. So I think it's an ongoing issue, and the complexity of the current media environment makes it a bigger challenge, but I think it's one that has to be addressed. And we're involved as the BAI with work at a European and at a national level on this, and the future of journalism institute in DCU that produced the digital news report. We also launched a report earlier on this year with them, which looked at issues around disinformation. So it is important, and that's where I think, going back to another point that we made earlier about the importance of credible sources of information for people, and I think that's where community media can be particularly influential, because it makes that direct connection back with people. So it provides that context for people to have that discussion within communities about what's important to them, and also what the reality is for that community around issues that are important to it. So I think the growth of new media, new sources, new technology has only increased the importance of community media as a element within that overall mix.
Yeah, and again, it goes back, I suppose, Ciarán, to the whole ethos of, well, certainly I can only speak for Near FM, but the mantra of being a truthful, trusted and reliable source of information. And I mean, there is absolutely no way that we'll say, for argument's sake, like what you're talking about there, some of the rumours doing the rounds on WhatsApp or anything like that. I mean, no responsible broadcaster would repeat that live on air. And I mean, the classic one actually that you're talking about there in relation to the WhatsApp group chats and all that was at the very, very beginning of the COVID crisis here, where you had the audio report doing the rounds on WhatsApp purporting to come from an army officer saying that the army were taking to the streets at 6 o'clock on a Monday morning back in the start of March. I mean, that terrified the country, right? Because a lot of people believed it, that it was true.
Yeah, and also because it was circulated within a network where people believed it was coming from someone that they trusted. So I think that was a very good example of the potential harmful impact and also the power of social media. And I think it's one that has been recognised. I think the COVID crisis has really identified this as being something which needs to have a greater level of attention and focus on it. And there is going to be a statement from the European Commission, as I understand it now, at the start of July, which is going to look at the next phase of the work that they're going to do to try and deal with this. But it is a challenge, and I think it's a global challenge as well. And when you look at the concerns that they identified in the report, but going back to my earlier point, I think one of the things that we need to balance within all of this is that there is concern, and it's uniform across it. If you look at one of the questions in the report, it's about page 45, which looks at false and misleading information and different sources of it, and when they're concerned, when people are expressing a concern about where it would come from, you know, across Ireland, the UK, North America, and the EU, and there was an average for the EU. The highest one was from the government politicians or political parties in my country. So there is that sense that people are identifying as well, that it is something where within the whole lexicon of politics and government in those areas, that there's a concern about false and misleading information from those sources, as well as foreign governments and from journalists or news organisations or from other groups. So I think there is a sense that the complexity of it needs to be understood to make sure that we're tackling the problem with the right measures.
Kieran, before I let you go, and it's just an interesting question now, as you mentioned it there about politicians and foreign governments. As somebody who's really at the centre and the heart of the media in Ireland, well, I'm only asking you to speak anecdotally now. I don't want a case in point, but how easy is it even for an astute media organisation, be it any media organisation, how easy is it for them to be manipulated without them even knowing it's happening?
Well, I think when you look at the evidence that's there coming from work that was done by people like the fact-checking organisation, The Journal, I think you can see that, first of all, there is a huge increase over the last number of years in the amount of misinformation and malinformation that's in circulation. So that puts a bigger challenge on news organisations and people who are even sharing information within their own networks, whatever they may be, either school networks, large or small, to really begin to question, you know, can I be sure that what I am seeing here or what I'm hearing here or what's being said to me is actually true? And I think no one can be complacent about my own view about the fact that you might see something that you might take as credible, which isn't. And I think that that is one of the challenges for us all. So we all need to increase our news and media literacy because of the complexity of the environment in which we're operating. And you mentioned that one about the army officer, which had the recording, which was purported to be an army officer talking about troops going out onto the street, or, you know, the false tweet that was circulated, which was presented as coming from Leo Varadkar's Twitter account, as I understand it. You know, so it's getting more complex, the kinds of misinformation that's flowing around. So I think we all need to be constantly questioning what we're seeing and trying to make sure that we're approaching it with a strong level of literacy in terms of understanding that the level of disinformation that is in the environment is very significant and can be very harmful.
Kieran Casan, Senior Manager with the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. Kieran, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. I'm very grateful for the time you gave me, and I'm sorry that we kind of did overrun a little bit because of COVID restrictions. I should have been gone out of here 3 minutes ago, but I think it's very interesting and it's very important, more so than anything else, that people realise, be Cormac, be vigilant where you're getting your news and your current affairs information from.
Grandma, I got
Kieran Casan, thank you very much. Slán a column.